Over the last several weeks, we've been thinking about, talking about the material from Dr. Reeves' lecture series, I think at Ligonier maybe, or somewhere, at any rate. And our general topic, if you remember, has been fear. We talked a lot about fear and all those aspects. But we're now moving into another section of this, and we're talking specifically about fearing God in two aspects, fearing God as creator and fearing God as redeemer. So we talked about fearing God as creator last week. We're going to move today into fearing God as redeemer as we go forward in this material from Dr. Reeves. So we saw that there are different kinds, or there's different types of fear. We saw that there's the right fear of God and that there is a sinful fear of God. And as we took that a little further, we also began to see that there are different kinds of right fear. Now, that seems to be almost an oxymoron on its surface, on its face, but a right type of fear, and we'll see a little bit of that. To begin to do this discussion, Reeves gave us the thinking of a number of different people. He started with our friend Calvin and his institutes, and in the institutes, he gave us a two-step or two levels related to our knowledge of God. There's the knowledge of God as the creator, and then there's the knowledge of God as the redeemer in Christ. So his frame is one of knowledge, and that concept is going to be important. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So. But based on that construct, based on that concept, he gave us a template for how we begin to understand this. So just as there are two levels to the knowledge of God, there are two corresponding levels of right fear of God. There's the fear of God as the creator, and then there's fear of God as the redeemer. Those are significant differences. They're both characteristics or aspects of God's character, but the response to that is different, and we're going to begin to see that in a minute. So the first sort of fear is the fear of God as creator. This sort of fear we talked about this last week, it's the weak-kneed, trembling response to the fact that God is the creator. It appreciates and enjoys the fact that God is splendid in his transcendence. He's above and beyond creation. He is more than creation. Therefore, he is more than the creator. God is holy, majestic, perfect, all-powerful, and dazzling in his perfections. So this type of fear, this is the first right type of fear. This fear considers the creator and leaves us, like David, staggering, asking, "What is man that you consider him, and that you are mindful of him?" We talked about that last week. So this first type of right fear is an appropriate reaction to the Creator. It shows his holiness. The holiness of sovereign God is tremendous, vivid, dazzling, and not to fear him would be foolishness. The knowledge of the Creator leads to a fear which cultivates humility, repentance, and contempt for self-complacency and self-conceit. So it's a trembling kind of fear, but it has positive aspects. Now, he Reeves laid this out in relation to Calvin's frame of the knowledge of God. Then he gives us some counterpoints. We talked about these a little bit last week as well. First of all, he gives us the words of the pantheist poet William Blake. And Blake wrote a poem that we read about a tiger. Blake based his thinking on the fierceness of this tiger. And then by extension, if this tiger is fierce, his creator, the tiger's creator, had to be fierce, help, fearsome. How about that? So Blake saw no further than how dreadful the creator is based on this tiger. And so Blake is left dreading, not loving the creator or a creator. So we then compared Blake's words to those of Isaac Watts in a hymn that he wrote. And both Blake and Watts, their writing displayed a kind of a mute, dazzling wondering about the creator. But there's a significant difference between their two writings. We'll come back to that. Watts's fear is a worshipful, devoted fear, a loving fear that falls down facing, not fleeing from God. So. And then the capstone. We looked at the German liberal theologian, Rudolf Otto. Otto managed to capture something about the fear of the Creator. But he described our encounter with the spiritual. He focuses almost exclusively on our relationship to God as creator. In the frame, we are creatures coming before the creator. And Otto's argument was associated primarily with how the creature feels. He said, our experience with the spiritual is an experience of overwhelming might or power before the Creator. His understanding of the fear of God is essentially limited to the fear of the Creator. Therefore, his argument is simply being afraid of God. So we've got two or three constructs about fearing God, being afraid of God as Creator. Then that brings us to our second aspect of this, is God as Redeemer. Now, I'm going to push pause. I know we've got lots of distractions. We've got lots of stuff this morning that we're thinking about and things that can distract us. So let's put that away and concentrate on the task at hand. So we can talk about the other stuff over lunch. So second piece of this concept is our fear of God as Redeemer. Now, there's another phrase that goes with this. It's in Calvin. It's also in Reeves' writings. It's fear of God as Redeemer in Christ. So that tagline is important. So as we begin to think about this, let's go back for a minute and think about the difference between Watts' writing and Blake's writing. Remember, there was a different tone, there's a different feel to how they wrote. So what made the difference in how they wrote about, thought about, felt about God as Creator? Any thoughts? What would make the difference? Okay. Let's put it in Calvin's frame. What did Calvin talk about? The knowledge of God as these aspects. So the difference between Blake's writing and Watts' writing is their knowledge of God in these characteristics. So Watts had been taken further in his knowledge of God. He not only had the knowledge of God as creator, but he also had the knowledge of God as the Redeemer. Okay, that connection registering, it's an and. The knowledge of these characteristics, the knowledge of God as Creator with that overpowering, trembling kind of fear, and the knowledge of God as Redeemer. Okay? So it's a fundamental difference. The knowledge of God the Redeemer as a humble, gracious, compassionate Savior beautifies the sight of His infinite majesty as Creator. So the knowledge of that second characteristic modifies the negativity of the knowledge of the first characteristic. Okay? We together? This is a hard concept. As Rudy said earlier, we have to rewire how we think about this. So we see that our wonder at the Creator's magnificence increases when we know that the magnificence is of the kindest Savior, of the kindest Redeemer. Then we're freed from all of Blake's doubts about God's character. We're freed from all fears that the awesome God might be against us because He is also our Redeemer. In other words, we are freed fully to enjoy Him as Creator. Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard concept. See, if Rudy wants me to teach this section again, I'll say no. It's a difficult concept because it is so counterintuitive.
God through the gospel is to look upon a friendly face. And so It's the idea that, and I like the way you put it a second ago, Ken, that in our redemption, that we no longer have to fear God as creator, i.e. judge, because those transgressions have been atoned for, have been forgiven. And that opens the door for us to see his marvelous creation, but then also to see his marvelous redemption as well.
Yeah, and as we begin to think about this progression, and this is really kind of a progression in our thinking, it's part of our rewiring. If we think about the fundamental concept of Calvin as one of the knowledge of God in these characteristics, and then we plug that into Otto's construct, we would have to then proceed to this second level or this second step. We move from God simply as creator, which carries a judgmental tone to it. Maintaining that, we move to the second level of God as redeemer, which then modifies, I'm getting in deep water here, this modifies our thinking about God as creator. Okay? On the same page?
Yeah. So, that may be deep water, but they're familiar waters, and they're not treacherous waters. Because that's exactly what happens in the expression of the new covenant.
Yeah. So therefore, as we move through this progression, and we move to at least the third level next week, we need to begin to understand that the living God, the God as we know, fundamentally know God, is in fact the creator. But we also need to begin to know and understand what sort of being this creator is. Again, a modification of how we think. Not what we think, but how we think. Very different. So we begin to understand or to know and somewhat understand God as the Redeemer in Christ. Different characteristic, same God. Knowing that at the moment of redemption, the glorification of the Son of Man is revealed. More knowledge, more understanding. And he, Christ, is revealed more purely. Knowing the character of God through his redemption will make our Christian fear very different. So we're back to having two kinds of right fear. We've got that right fear, trembling, weak need as creator, but then we also have the fear of him as a gracious redeemer or gracious Savior. Okay, on the same page. Now, I'm going to push pause here. I hate to do this. Thoughts, questions, comments before we move on? Nobody? Okay, cool. Now, also, if you remember, we started off last week with a series of questions. It has a catechism feel to it. I was thinking about that, Casey. We might label this the Grace Covenant Baptist Church Monroe Catechism. How about that? And I handed out a sheet with some questions on it. Now, there's a bunch of them, so we're not going to go through all of them. But there's a couple of them I want to talk about. Not yet. Hang on to that. So, remember we did the Mark passage, and that's the narrative of the disciples in the boat, and the boat's sinking, and truth is asleep in the back of the boat, and all that. Okay? So, question. This first question of the Grace Covenant Catechism. How did Jesus reveal himself as creator to his disciples in that narrative? Yeah, he spoke nature, so to speak, to be altered. Now, we didn't chase these cross references, but there are other references to that same concept. Remember, at creation, God brought forth water from the earth. Push pause again. Have any of y'all listened to the Hilldale College lectures on Genesis? You can get them online. They're free, and they are wonderful. I'll just give you that plug. Now, I warn you, when you sign up for them, you're going to start getting a bunch of stuff wanting you to contribute to their programs, but their stuff is really good. So he brought forth water from the earth at creation. Remember, there's at least two other instances where God directly influenced nature. Remember? He parted the Red Sea. He also parted the Jordan River so they could go across.
Sun stopping in the sky.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to get to the so in just a minute.
How do we know he didn't command the storm to begin to start?
We don't. Doesn't tell us. This is a late night discussion. Did he command it or did he allow it? Directed will or permissive will?
God, if you want to go that route, then you still have to say God commanded, because God commanded as the first primary mover, but then he also commanded secondary means. So either way you go, he commanded.
Okay, one other rebuking a storm. Does anybody remember where that is?
It's in the New Testament somewhere.
No. Remember what happened when they threw Jonah off the boat? God commanded the storm to cease or subside. So in our Mark narrative, Jesus is clearly demonstrating himself as creator because he created this, so therefore he can affect it or control it. Second question in our Catechism. What was the disciples' natural response?
Fear.
What kind of fear? So afraid. So it's more than just natural fear. It's an exaggerated fear. And this is where you were going, I think. They're familiar with storms. They're familiar with boats sinking. So if they're afraid, this must have been an extraordinary storm, and they had an extraordinary fearful response to it. Okay, third catechism question. In what ways might their response have changed if they had also regarded Jesus as their Redeemer at that point in time?
They might have asked if this is the way that you're
going
to end the world.
I could have.
I mean, that's what they asked last time. Is this when you're coming back?
Okay, put it in our frame now. Put it in the frame of fear of God as creator, which he's just demonstrated. And if they had known or appreciated him as creator, Redeemer, how would that have changed their response? Okay, so it might have modified the level of their fear.
Because I'm thinking about John. Revelation had full understanding of Christ as Redeemer, but yet whenever the angel shows up, he falls like a dead man. He basically passes out from fear. So would it?
I don't know. I'm asking the question. Yeah, it could have been. Okay.
Drawing off of that, then it would be, I think, fair to say that in the face of frightening circumstances, we might still be afraid, but there's a greater boldness, a courage, if you want to put it that way.
Okay, consider this. If they had fully understood Jesus as their Redeemer, it may have changed both the intensity of their fear. It may have changed their thinking about him and about their situation, so that he would not have needed to rebuke them by saying, "Why are you so afraid?" Okay, put it in the frame of knowledge. I'm supposing that all these guys who were martyred had a greater knowledge of God as a Redeemer. Experiential knowledge. Right. But also remember, this is progressive knowledge. This narrative is very, very early in their experience with Christ, with Jesus. Yeah, okay, yeah. But again, this is very, very early in their experiential interactions with Jesus. He has just pretty much called them. Come study Matthew with us, because there's a very distinct difference between disciples and all this herd that was following him. So. Yeah.
And after that, they don't have anything else. So that's the created order. You know, outside of Christ, they are subject to through all of the things of the creation.
Natural order. Yeah.
But inside of Christ, in Christ, as their, with Christ as their Redeemer, then they're subject only to the one really that can consign the body and the soul to hell.
That's true. But this again, this is progressive knowledge. Remember.
No, but that's what I'm saying. The example that you're giving lays the foundation
for that. Completely agree. But they ain't there yet.
Well, no, but you're asking us, and we are. So you're asking us to diagnose that circumstance. So
I'm asking you to diagnose their reaction. We're gonna do a generic diagnostic, whatever. Good. Go ahead. Yeah, they must not be hungry. Okay, fourth question in our catechism. We're going to go back to God as creator. What does it mean to fear God as creator? We've talked about this a little bit. What does it mean to fear God as creator? What does it mean in the midst of a huge thunderstorm when you're in a boat out on the water? Okay.
One of David's songs addresses the same thing. In the middle of their storms, that they would see where mountains would be sliding and creation changing in front of them in the storms. But they still gathered around their table and they looked to their creator to save them. So if you look at that psalm, these guys would have had the same kind of understanding of God. So perhaps they began looking more to him as a creator than just a rabbi.
Okay. So if we're stuck at that first level, if we're understanding him only as through the fear as creator, it's a dreadful fear. It's a this is an oxymoron. It's a scary fear. Yeah. So we've not progressed to that second level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the writing of Hebrews is saying. There's a point of once for a man to die, and then comes the judgment. Right? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah.
It's a specific, guess what he's saying, that there is a foreboding of judgment that comes when you're outside of Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Fifth question. How does knowing God as Savior and Redeemer change the way we might understand him as Creator? Anybody?
Kind of like we were talking earlier, we understand him as our Redeemer, so we're freed from the fear of him as Creator. But that doesn't mean the fear is gone necessarily, because it's changed.
Yeah, exactly. It's modified. It's different.
I think that, you know, you have, again, if you're outside the room, what you're talking about, you do fear the destruction of the judge. Once you're inside the room with him, then you fear, you know, being punished because you're inside the room. Once you're sitting in his lap, you even fear disappointment. Your fears just change.
Yeah, it's a different level.
Mm-hmm. That would be a difference between standing before the bench in the courtroom and then going in chambers with the judge.
A silly example that JC and I have been listening to this history thing on the Greek and Macedonian army with Philip and Alexander and all that. I think if you're standing on a battlefield and you see all these Greek and Macedonian soldiers coming at you with their hoplites and they're in their formation with their shields and their spears and they're coming at you. And you see it, you realize, okay, this is a terror to me. But then all of a sudden they part, and you're on the other side, and the shields and the spears are facing that way, and you look back, and there's another. another army coming at you. So you went from the point of seeing this judgment coming at you, and now when you're on the inside being redeemed, you realize this wall of shield and spears is protecting you versus having coming at you. And I think that's that realization of God as creator. You realize that someone has the ability and authority and complete control over you, and that's terrifying. Then you look back and you realize that complete control is not terrifying to you, it's a protection.
Protection, yeah.
Because that's chosen to save you by being now on this side of it.
Yeah.
And so it's just a progressive development. Same belief, but you just realize it's there now for your good, having been redeemed versus for your judgment.
Yeah, we're really splitting hairs here, but it's an experiential as well as cognitive knowledge. It's progressive knowledge.
You know, such a terrifying entity. And at the end, when he's fighting him for protecting him, hey, this man was so horrendous. I was so afraid of him now defending me in the game.
Okay, let me read you the answer. The question is, what does it mean to fear God as creator? The answer is, we fear God as creator when we tremble and enjoy Him in His splendid transcendence. When we survey His creation, we can understand certain things about who He is as our creator and that He is above and beyond creation. We can behold such attributes as His power and perfection, which should leave us in fearful admiration of Him. That's simply that first level before we move to the second, third, or to the other infinite levels. So, okay, follow-up question to that is, how does knowing God as Savior and Redeemer change the way we might understand Him as Creator? When we move to that second step, when we move to that second level, how does that change our thinking? Okay, that realization indicates what? Huh? Knowledge. It indicates a different level of our knowledge of that characteristic. We're back to Calvin and his frame about knowledge of these characteristics. No.
It ain't. He's not adding glory to it.
Right.
In revealing it, that's the only way that it speaks of glorifying God.
It increases our appreciation of that glory. Okay. Does not increase His glory. We're parsing words, but. Where am I? I've completely lost my train of thought. It goes back to this frame of Calvin's about knowledge, the knowledge of God in these characteristics, and how we appreciate that. So. Okay, now I've been picking on y'all. I've got another handout. It's got all these questions and got all the answers that I'll give you if we decide to publish this as our catechism. So we'd have to credit Dr. Reeves. All of this is his material. And in the service of full disclosure, this is not my thinking through this. This is his. So let me finish up kind of to conclude this particular section with just a couple of other thoughts. When people fear God as creator, apart from knowing Him as redeemer, the natural and only response is to dread Him. He is majestic and awesome, yet at that level, most would not know whether He is on their side or not, whether He is for them or not. So to fear Him delightfully we must also know him as Redeemer. Remember, it's an and, it's a conjunctive, it's this and that. No other religion offers a God who is a Redeemer in the way that Christianity gloriously reveals the person and work of Christ. This is a unique message of Scripture. God is not only creator, but also a loving redeemer of his people. This God sent his Son to redeem his people from their sins so that they might live life and fellowship with him. At some level, all people know that God exists. Now, there are those who deny it, but I think we would pretty much agree that at some level, everybody acknowledges that. But the unregenerate suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That's the Romans passage you were quoting, Romans 1, 18 and through 20. It said, in this way, creation is a witness to them about God as creator. People naturally know and fear their Creator, but because of sin and without a Redeemer, they can know God only as a transcendent Creator who is not on their side. Reeves emphasizes how knowing God as Redeemer shapes the way we view Him as Creator. When these two concepts merge, we can delight in him as we fear him. Counterintuitive thought. How can you delight in something you're afraid of? Complementing his splendor without fear of judgment and with a love for Christ produces a heart that overflows with thanksgiving and praise. And Reeve said, this is the heartbeat of Christian health. Yeah, if you fly into Atlanta in early morning, there's no place to get coffee. The only thing open is the Jack Daniels store. So. Okay, other thoughts, comments, questions, rebuttals? Hopefully we begin to understand a little bit about this dichotomy where it becomes an and rather than an either or. So. Okay, Asher, you want to hand out these? This is our catechism, questions and the answers, or actually Dr. Reeves' answers. So, okay, anything else before we adjourn for this session?